Everybody, welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm so excited to bring you another interview from one of our favorite Hall stars that we've really enjoyed getting to know in the last couple of movies that we've seen. I'm Rachel, and we're here talking to Preston Vanderslice. This is so fun.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I appreciate being here.
So what we like to do is we like to give our guests the opportunity to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become an actor.
Totally. So my name is Preston Vanderslice, and I don't really have a very like prolific or earth-shattering story as far as why I became an actor. I was kind of always a bit of a ham growing up. Quite expressive. And so whether I was telling a story around a dinner table or on stage, I just enjoyed performing. I just enjoyed making people laugh and telling stories. And I don't know. I don't even know exactly where it came from. But yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. I guess I got my first taste of stage work when I was in elementary school. So I grew up in Texas, and I would go up on stage every once in a while with my dad at church, and we would do just like little sketches or, you know, cute little illustrations. Uh-huh. And so that was a big part of it. And then as I got into high school, I was in a comedy troupe. All 3 years of high school, my high school, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. So I was involved in the comedy troupe then, which was just a blast. And I kind of did that in conjunction with sports. I was quite into athletics as well growing up. I played football throughout all high school too. So those were kind of my dual passions, I guess you could say, growing up. And then as far as making the leap into doing it professionally, I went to university down in Austin, and that's when I began to kind of dabble in it on a more professional level. I got an agent down there. I did a music video, my very first professional paid, my first professional paid acting job was a Miranda Lambert music video. And I think this was her second single. She was certainly not who she has become now. I mean, she's a mega superstar now. This is right when she was getting started, and she shot this music video right outside of Austin, and I was her love interest in it, and that was my my first foray. Yeah, she's a doll. I mean, this is forever ago, but she was an absolute sweetheart and super easy to work with, and has gone on
That's
to become
decent for her first gig. Not too bad.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool, and that was like the taste on the whole other level, right? Of it being this very professional setting and being in front of the camera and all of that. So from there, I just kept sort of plugging away in Texas, and did some commercial work, some independent films, and then I made the jump out to LA after that, and just kind of kept moving along with it.
So do you live in California?
I go back and forth between LA and Vancouver.
Yeah.
So I'm a permanent resident in Canada, and Vancouver's been my home base for the last couple of years, but I'm in LA several times a year.
I was going to say, it'd be tough to be in as many Hallmark movies as you are without having a home base in Canada.
Yes, they do like shooting in Canada, and we like having them here.
Uh-huh. But your first role for Hallmark was Love by Chance, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That was I played a terrible date for I'm terrible. What's the lead actress's
Bo Garrett.
Yes, that's right, Bo Garrett. And she, I play an awful date. Her I believe the situation was that her mother is trying to set her up. She's single, and her mother's on the lookout for a good man for her, and she sets her up with me. and I am a disaster date. I am very self-involved and I'm a terrible listener. I am the opposite of a catch. Yeah, that was my first one. It was fun. It was just like that was a quick little 1 day shoot. I remember the scene that I was in, I was at the very end of the shooting day, and I just slipped in there, and Bo was easy and great, and the whole set was very accommodating, and did the thing and left, and that was mm-hmm. it. Yeah, that was my first little taste of Hallmark.
That's really funny. Well, yeah, you got in on the playing the sort of the wrong guy kind of thing, right?
That's a nice way to put it. The guy you really like to dislike.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Those are my favorite. Yeah. They're so fun.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. No, it's so good. That's really fun.
My dad asked me, so I guess it was not to jump too far ahead, but when I booked the role in Mingle All the Way, uh-huh. I was describing the character to him, and he's like, wow, you always get cast as these kind of unlikable guys. And I mean, I hope I'm not, I don't think I'm unlikable in real life. My dad's obviously biased, but he goes, that's just so not like you. And my explanation to my dad, I was like, well, Dad, you know, this is the conclusion I've come to, and it's half your fault, that when I walk into an audition or my name comes across the casting director or the director's eyes, it's, my name's Preston Vanderslice, Dad. Like, that's already kind of like a snooty name. And I didn't pick that. You and Mom picked that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, it is a very memorable name. Were you named after anybody? Or
No, not at all. That's the thing. People ask that all the time. Like, surely you grew up in Martha's Vineyard. Or but I'm like, I grew up in Texas, man, like, and I am not oil money, and there's no relation to the Vanderbilts.
It really does sound like a Harvard name. Like, you should have gone to Harvard. I think you could have gotten into Harvard just on your name.
Just with the name.
I really do.
No, I missed my shot of being a Harvard grad.
I know.
Yeah. I know. You know, they just liked it. I have a sister named Caroline, a brother named Pierre. So we all have like not, you know, they're pretty specific names, but, the sort of main thoroughfare in Dallas is called Preston Road, and it goes from the suburbs all the way into downtown. So it's a pretty common name, or it's at least in the ethos there. And there's, like a Preston Wood neighborhood and Preston Hollow. And so it's not as, like, I guess, I'm not sure if it's a unique name, period, but it's not as unique of a name in Dallas as maybe it would be in other places. Yeah. But it's a doozy all the same, and I credit that to being the somewhat snooty character, is that I carry this name with me.
Like, the whole point of acting is to play a different kind of, it's a different name. I can escape my name. That's so funny. Yeah, because you really have had a track record. We need to make that the goal of 2019, is to get you to play a lovable inn owner who or something like that.
I would love that. And I've had that conversation for sure with folks that can maybe help out with that. I've got a show coming out at the end of January. It's called Mystery 101 with Jill Wagner and Chris Popo, as I like to call him. And I do finally get to play a bit more of a likable character in that. So that was a good shift of gears.
Yeah, that's part of the reason I wanted to talk with you, because I have to admit, when I first saw that you were on there, I was like, oh, I bet he's the villain. It's a mystery show. And I thought, oh, is he a guest star? That's usually a tip that, oh, this person's going to be the villain if they're the guest.
Right.
But I was like, oh, he's going to be the murderer. It'll be great. But I'm glad to hear that that's not the case.
I hope I don't get in trouble by saying that. But it could be. I could be a very likable killer in the end. I'm not sure. There's always a likable murderer.
I was joking with one of our co-hosts that they need to have next year, just to shake things up, they need to have a well-meaning condo developer. is the one I like, because there's nothing worse in Hallmark movies than a condo developer. Condos are evil.
It's true.
I mean, it's like you got these like huge like manors, like Pemberley Manor, and the like right. The people want to tear it down to build condos. Like, always condos.
It's like, guys, you know what? This is just thoughtful urban planning, okay? I just want to build vertically. Yeah. I'm thinking about the city, you know. And yeah, okay, like, I want to get rich while I do it.
Land, they have to destroy the manor. Like, there's no other land they can build a condo. So funny.
That's it. The manor sits on the best piece of property. We've got to go after that.
Yeah. My favorite of all of the hilarious men of business in Hallmark is in Kiss at Pine Lake with Brennan Elliott. He is the best in that movie. He gets out. He's at the forest because it's all about a summer camp. He gets out and he's like, what are all these trees doing here?
Ugh, these trees are disgusting.
The
I feel right around them.
Yeah, it was.
Get me back to the buildings and the concrete.
So, but yeah, that was totally your character in Destination Wedding, because I think you just maybe had started to take her too much for granted, and so his big mistake was not going on the trip. Like, if
that's right,
if your girl is going to a destination wedding where she might meet her ex-boyfriend, you gotta go. Like,
I mean, I'm not saying I identify with the characters I play. I agree. You gotta be there.
I mean,
yeah, that was definitely, you are asking for trouble. That was definitely the hang up there. You know, I mean, I think for a lot of the, and I'm not saying anything new, but I think for a lot of the businessmen of Hallmark, it's usually just like a misguided value or misguided love, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being passionate about what you do, but there has to be a limit to that.
Right.
That's where oftentimes they get into trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas like the contrast is usually the person in the country has like 15 jobs, you know, like they're like a fireman part of the time. And then they're like, they work at their mom's store. And then like Paul Green's character in Christmas in Angel Falls, I swear every time you saw him, he was a different job. He's like a handyman. I want to see.
So. I'm totally going to butcher this, but I saw a tweet around Christmas, and it was something along the lines of my greatest fear. Something like, my greatest fear as a somewhat successful businessman is that my wife is going to go back to her small town and fall in love with the lumberjack or something.
Yeah, her high school sweetheart. She's gonna go back.
Right.
Yeah, no, I saw that too. That was so funny, and it's so true.
It is.
Yeah, every once in a while you'll have a woman of business, but usually that's because the city has corrupted her, and she needs to go back to the country in order to find out who.
And kind of even out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Come down from that toxic city life.
Yeah, that's right. So Destination Wedding, I do really enjoy it. I think that is one of Nina Weinman's best scripts. I think you guys are pretty, you know, each other, right?
We met on that movie, and I had a small part in another one of hers before that. Oh my gosh, I'm terrible. Operation Christmas is the name of it.
Oh, right.
So I had a small little part in that the year before, and then, we met on set there in Mexico, and she's become like a great friend of mine. She's such a lovely lady. We immediately hit it off. I told her, and I wasn't BSing her, but I told her that when I went in and read for that, I mean, that just, she's got a knack for dialogue, and it was easy. It was easy to remember. It was easy to say. I like that my character in that, like, there's some genuine brokenness, you know? I mean, I show up there in Mexico. It's too little too late,
yeah.
But she gave me some, you know, and the way she wrote the character, she gave me some space for, you know, some regret and some brokenness. And anytime you can kind of find that and find the vulnerabilities, I mean, that's the thing I do kind of enjoy about playing these businessmen of Hallmark, as you said, or the guys you like to dislike, is that a lot of times they get their comeuppance, and you know, there can be an arc, even though they don't end up with the gal. They hopefully they've learned a lesson.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's just the paradigm has changed without them having really any control over it. Like for them, the relationship has been perfectly fine, and all of a sudden, like, she's the one that changes. He's like, in the birthday wish, for instance, with Marcus Rosner's character, like, he's going on their agreement for what they have agreed is their relationship. Like, it's not really his fault that she changes. I mean, he's keeping a little more observant, but nevertheless, like, so we love Nina. She has been on our show 3 times. She was our first interview we ever did.
I love that.
She's the best. And did she name a character in Love at Sea after you? Because she had a character named Preston.
Yeah, she did. She did. And I found that very flattering.
She was
working on that. I think she had kind of just started working on that when we were shooting Destination Wedding. It's weird because you guys actually have very similar speaking voices. I feel like I'm having a phone conversation with Nina right now.
Oh, really?
Very funny. Yeah, I think so.
That's funny.
But yeah, she named the character after me, which is very sweet. Cool. Too bad I couldn't play it.
I know.
Fun to have been on the cruise ship with those guys.
Was that fun to be in Mexico shooting Destination Wedding?
Oh my gosh. Me and Andrew Dunbar and Andrea Brooks, we were joking while we were there that we won the Hallmark lottery.
Yeah.
And getting to do, I mean, it was an absolute blast. So, Andrew Dunbar he was one of the first buddies that I made when I moved to Vancouver. So we've known each other for a good little bit, and we were, what was the exact situation? We saw each other at the director producer session for Destination Wedding. And then a couple days later, I saw him at another audition, and it was at the very end of the day. And he's like, "Hey man, you want to go grab a quick bite after this audition?" I was like, "Yeah, that'd be great." And so he got a call and he stepped out, and then I got a text from my agent telling me that I'd booked the job. We went in for the audition and then came back out. He's like, "Man, I don't think I did very well in that, because I got a call from my agent right before I went in saying that I booked the job in Mexico." And I looked at him, I go, "What? Oh my gosh, me too. I just couldn't text him." And we just we looked like a couple kids in a candy shop in the middle of the street. But
yeah,
it was a real blast. And that whole team was really something. Annie Carlucci was the producer on that, and she's just lovely.
A blast. I enjoyed that one. I like it. He played Andrew. He played Andrea's fiance, right, in the movie?
That's right.
Okay, good. Yeah, that was, I liked that one. And so you were in 2 mysteries already, right? 1 garage sale mystery, 1 Emma Fielding.
That's right. Yep.
I haven't seen those ones, to be honest, those ones. So you, were you a villain in them, or you can spoil it?
Yeah. They've been out for a minute now. And I don't follow you at all, because there's a lot out there to watch. So I'm impressed that you've seen as much as you have seen.
No, you know what? I have seen the 2nd Emma Fielding. I haven't seen the 1st one, but, anyway.
In the garage sale mystery, I was the villain. I was the murderer. But that was a fun character, because I think people were on to me just because I think people watch the shows because they like to see how they're going to unfold, even though a lot of times we might know or have a strong hunch by the end of Act 1, maybe who the murderer is going to be. It's like, well, how does that person become the murderer and why? I think that's a lot of the joy in it. But I am this seemingly very helpful, very jovial security guard. And
hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I'm just like super keen on helping, you know, solve these little crimes in whatever way that I can. Meanwhile, I'm the mastermind behind the crime, setting thing up and manipulating the evidence and all of that. So that was the gist with that one. And then with Emma Fielding, I played a character named Bray Chandler, who is the heir to this huge inheritance, and I live in this massive castle. We shot that in Victoria, and it was actually the house that was mine, that was my, and my family, was the same castle that they shoot the X-Men and they shot Deadpool in, if you've seen those. It's the it's the X-Men Academy. It's this gorgeous old castle that's in Victoria, and I think it's connected to, I'm going to butcher it, it's Royal Roads College or Royals College or something along those lines. But anyways, I was just the red herring in that. You definitely think that that I do it, or that I am committing these crimes, but it's you figure out in the end that it's not me. And I think one of my favorite lines I've ever got to say in a Hallmark movie was in that movie. I'm being grilled by some detective played by James Tupper. I say something like, it wasn't me. I know you think it was me. It wasn't me. I'm not smart enough to do that. It's like a total admittance of, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in over my head.
That is funny. This is not the high confidence character.
Yes, exactly. I'm like pleading with James' character. I'm like, let me go. I'm not that smart. I swear it wasn't me. I wouldn't know how to pull something off like this.
Well, how do you think this Mystery 101 is sort of different than those other two shows as far as like the tone or style, or what are ways it's different?
One of the things I like most about Mystery 101 is that there's this really fun sort of meta aspect going on within the story. So I don't know how much I'm allowed to give. Well, I think this is, you can tell this from the trailer, but Jill's character,
she's a professor, right?
She's a professor, yeah. And she teaches a whodunit class. I mean, she's teaching fictional crime.
Oh,
and so that's her area of expertise. That's what she has surrounded her whole professional life in. And her father is kind of like a James Patterson figure, or a like a John Grisham type, where he is this well-known crime fiction author, New York Times bestseller, that kind of thing. And so, that's her passion, that's her obsession. And then she kind of gets sucked into solving an actual crime. And so she's drawing on all of her knowledge and all the books she's read, and she's talking to her dad about things. And so I think that's a pretty fun, unique take on it. It takes place on a college campus, so it's not that the other ones aren't, but this one's it's youthful, you know. It has a bit of a younger vibe, I guess, going on.
Well, I'm really excited to have two leads in a mystery. Like, I guess you kind of had that in The Murder She Baked, but you know, most of it just has the one lead, and so I think that Palaha and Wagner are gonna do really fun together.
They're great. So Chris and I, we met on Small Town Christmas, and he brought up Jill at one point. I think he was talking about the movie they did in, was it Fiji? They shot somewhere tropical. I think it was Fiji. That's right. And just spoke very highly of Jill. And I know they liked working together. And then when I got cast in Mystery 101 and the first day on set, Chris, I'd already been working with Jill. I'd done a couple scenes with her. And we totally hit it off and have like these very similar, bizarre Southern senses of humor. She's from North Carolina. I'm from Texas. And so we were just kind of jamming on that level. And Chris walks in. He's like, oh, I knew it. I knew you two would just hit it off. You guys are like two peas in a pod. So, and then the two of them are just, they're great. They're very fun.
They're definitely two of my favorite interviews that I've done. And we had a lot of fun, Jill and I, because we both have the same last name. So we decided that we're cousins secretly.
Yeah,
we're
for sure. Cousins. Obviously.
Yeah.
And Jack Wagner too, right?
That's right. Yes. And Lindsay Wagner. There's just tons of my relatives at Hallmark.
You guys are you're the royal family of Hallmark.
That's right. So Mingle All the Way, your character, what was his problem? Like, he was just so jealous of this. Like, it was so funny to me. Like, who on earth cares who people bring to parties? Like, I don't understand why that was this big. Like, he was so scheming. And it was hilarious.
Definitely looking for an angle, whatever angle he could get. I mean, I think I knew deep down that I wasn't as talented as Brant's character. Certainly not as good looking as Brant. So I just have to find my angle.
I think he wanted to have somebody like Jen Lilly at the party. I mean, how can you not be jealous of Jen Lilly?
I was. no, totally. I think it was the character. Did you see Cooking with Love? The movie I did with Ali Lieber. And those two characters were somewhat similar, where they just at kind of whatever cost
get ahead.
They wanted to get ahead. Exactly. I think that was my Mingle All the Way problem for sure.
Well, Cooking with Love is almost like sometimes I wondered if your character had poisoned the nice sweet old chef.
That was a conversation on set. I don't think people were supposed to actually think that I did that, but maybe.
Yeah, I wondered. I really did. But
maybe that was also in Allie's notebook. Maybe I just lifted that from her.
Yeah, it could.
Just kidding.
The devious side of all our Hallmark heroines.
Yes.
That's really funny. Yeah, Mingle All the Way. It was really, I enjoyed it. It was kind of weird in certain ways, I thought. Like, particularly the things with her mom, I thought were sort of a little bit strange. But she came around, and I did think there were lots of cute moments and little sweet little Ava Cooper is just the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so adorable. I thought it was a very original concept to me.
Yeah.
When I first read it, I was like, oh, this is very 2018, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the online dating and online networking and that pressure of showing up to the Christmas party with someone. I guess that pressure has always been there, but in terms of alleviating that pressure by using an app felt very relevant and cute and original.
Yeah, apps were a big thing this year in TV Christmas movies. There were quite a few app designers. This was kind of one of the things. And party planning.
I mean, I think that Silicon Valley and the attraction that it has for young talent, it's almost like what Hollywood almost used to be, right?
Yeah.
Where I think people go, oh, I want to go be a movie producer. And there's still obviously are lots of people that want to be producers or actors or writers and whatnot. But I mean, that Silicon Valley is quite an alluring market, I think, for people to go into. So I like that they tapped into that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And sometimes it was just like, I wish I could have this app. This app sounds great. Totally ridiculous, but like
is someone designing this app right now? Can we get someone on?
Yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, well, very good. Do you have any other upcoming projects that you want to tell us about, or after?
Mystery 101 is the next one to to come out. I've got a couple of writing projects that I'm working on that are in various stages of completion or incompletion, depending on how you look at it.
Cool. I didn't know you did writing. I do.
Yeah, and that's one of the areas that Dina and I really hit it off. She's made herself very available to me in terms of being a mentor and someone who will look at my script. So yeah, that's kind of the thing I do in between. It's something that you obviously still have to have people give you permission to make your films, but you don't have to wait for anyone to give you permission to write them.
Yeah.
You know, to actually sit down and do the thing. So yeah.
Cool.
Hopefully those will keep moving along. Yeah.
Well, if you need ideas, Amber and I are constantly scheming.
I believe it.
What we want for our Hallmark movies.
what? Give me something. What do you guys want? What are you craving right now?
Well, we love
Nina Wyman. If you're listening to this right
yes.
now, these are my ideas, well, not yours.
Well, we have long had the dream of what we call our firehouse movie, and in this, you would have we think it would be because we don't think that Hallmark uses the men enough, because we like our Hallstar men. And so what we think would be really fun is if you had a movie about dueling firehouses, and you could make them be dueling over a pancake cook-off or chili cook-off or something like that. It would be in the summer. And you could even have sort of a little like Romeo and Juliet kind of thing, where maybe there's like a relationship between. And we figured you could cast one of the firehouses with all the wrong guys, like you, Anderson, and like get all that. And then you could have like the hero, the normal leading guys in the other one. So you could have like Paul Campbell, Andrew Walker. It would be great.
And the good guys.
Yeah. You could have like Marcus Rosser over in your guys's firehouse. It would be so good. And everyone in the world would watch it. We know.
That's pretty good. I like that. I like it that. Where does the love interest come in?
Well, see, that's what you figure. You'd have some of the firemen or fire ladies, whatever. I'm not sure what the correct term is. And you could have a girl firefighter and one firehouse.
And one of the guys.
One of the guys. Yeah. And so they're like bridging this feud. And it would be great. And
I like
the reason
that.
Why it got me thinking about this. Have you ever seen The 12 Men of Christmas over on Lifetime?
I have not, no.
It's pretty dishy. Too dishy for Hallmark. But you can tone it down a little bit. But it's really good. It's Kristen Chenoweth. And she comes in to this town in Montana. And she decides, she's like a PR kind of person. And so she decides that they're going to make a calendar to help fund the search and rescue team and to publicize the town. And so it becomes this kind of thing with all the search and rescue guy making this calendar, and it's very fun. But I'm like, you could do that and have, you know.
Yeah, you could do a Hallmark version of that.
Hallmark version of it, like be a cook-off or something like that. Make it sweet and fun.
We'll keep our t-shirts on, though, for sure.
Yeah, it would be great. And so that's our best idea. But yeah, we're constantly especially if we want to figure out ways that we can get our favorite people into more movies. Like we love Sandy Sadu, and she was in Mingle All the Way. We love her, and we're
she's great.
We need to create a movie where she can be the lead finally, because she's so great.
And
we're all scheming about a possible Hallmark Bollywood. Great.
I like that. Yeah. I like, you know, actually, One of the movie of the week scripts that I wrote, it does have this Bollywood sequence in it. I don't know if they would ever go for it, but it's, I mean, it's not long. It's just, so it's about a double wedding, and the two couples are practicing their dance for this double wedding. The way I wrote it, obviously the director can do whatever he or she wants to do with it, but it's like you're watching this movie and it's kind of a normal movie, and then we just shift gears and move out of that movie into this whole separate, like Slumdog Millionaire kind of did that, especially in the credit sequence where it became a standalone Bollywood number, and I was like, ah, that's so good. I love that.
That would be amazing. I would be so excited. I fully support you in making this movie.
The wheels are spinning. Yes. I saw Giles at a Christmas party.
He could be in the firehouse.
Yeah, well, he mentioned that. He's like, because he's like, Preston, we're always the other guy, man. So this is what I'm thinking. I think we need to make a movie where it's all about the other guys getting their sort of, not revenge, but, you know, their time to shine. I'm like, I like this, Giles. This is
it
good.
It would be amazing. Yeah, Giles and Casey Anderson and you and Marcus Rosner would definitely have to be in the one.
That's a good crew. Yeah. We'd have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be amazing. Well, so we have just some fun questions. We call them the Team B questions to end off the interview. Silly ones. So here we go. So what is the best ice cream flavor?
I'm into these kind of strange ice cream flavors right now that you see at like salt and straw and I like bacon pecan or maple bacon pecan. I don't know, something in that realm. Although having said that, I will eat cookies and cream anytime it's put in front of me. So yeah. I guess that would be my more straightforward answer.
I thought I was really adventurous. Oftentimes I think I'm really adventurous and then I go and I'm like, no, maybe not. Because I went to one of those places and I was just like, yeah.
Just didn't do it for you.
Blue cheese ice cream is not for me. Like, whatever. Ooh, it was, the weird cheese stuff. Yeah, there was all kinds of weird stuff. I was like, I don't know.
Donuts are getting like that as well. There's some crazy donut flavors out there. Some I like, but cupcakes, then, you know, sometimes you just need like the sour cream glazed.
Yeah, it's the same way with cupcakes. Like, don't mess with all that weird stuff. Like chocolate and yellow cake with chocolate frosting. That's it. That's the way to go.
I love that. Yeah. I do love that.
It's the best. All right. Yeah. What is your favorite color?
Blue. Okay.
Next. Yeah. What music are you listening to now? What's your favorite band or singer?
I listen to a lot of music. I really like Jason Isbell. Uh-huh. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's kind of a country Americana guy. He's a great lyricist, just a phenomenal lyricist. I'd say he's probably my number one right now.
Cool. Good. All right. What is your go-to date night food?
In Vancouver, there are a lot of fantastic Italian restaurants. Uh-huh. So I would say something like a kind of homemade, handmade pasta.
Yeah.
Or like a really good pizza. Mm-hmm. But I pasta is one of those things where it's like I thought I'd been eating decent pasta my whole life, and then I had one experience. It was like, oh, this is what pasta can actually taste like. You know, it's like the great awakening, and that's my jam right now.
Very good. The only thing you have to be careful with Italian food is it's very messy, or can be.
It can be messy. That's true.
You don't want to get a big spot on your shirt during a date.
I know you gotta have some sort of endearing joke waiting in your back pocket in case that happens.
I figure you just want to get like ravioli. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So you can or just like cut gnocchi, it.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's keep it simple.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in high school. I don't even know if this is like a date or just a friend who was a girl of high school. So sort of, you know, those lines are blurred. But I took this girl to go eat It was a place called Free Birds Burrito in Texas.
Oh,
kind of like
there.
Chipotle.
Yeah.
And I'm like 3/4 the way through my burrito, and I realize I have like a mountain of napkins just around my burrito bowl plate thing, and I am just making like a massive mess. And it just was like the sweater that kind of unravels, where I'm like, I've already committed to using 35 napkins in this meal. I'm better use another 10 more to polish off the last quarter of this burrito. Yeah. Disaster. I'll never do that again.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, at least, you know, if you go on a date like that, then, and they still want to go out with you, like, you know, that they're.
That's true. It could be a litmus test.
Yeah, that's right.
I was listening to this this interesting podcast last year on love and relationships, and the guy who was the guest, his suggestion for all first dates was to lead. It's pretty aggressive, but to lead with the question, "This is how I'm crazy. How are you crazy?" Like, let's just cut straight to it. So maybe a really messy meal is kind of part of that same line of thinking.
I mean, it's an interesting strategy, but I feel like a person like that must go on a lot more dates than I do, because I can't risk. I mean, I don't go on enough dates to risk starting out with the crazy question. Like,
I'd like to write that into a Hallmark movie, actually.
Oh, yeah, that could be really funny, actually. You know, that's one thing you could do if you're looking for things to write about. There's not enough movies on Hallmark about actually dating. It's very rare. You have like Dater's Handbook or a few movies, but for the most part, it's kind of like they end up just working together on a project or planning a party or something like that. And they don't actually like go on a date. And that one thing I loved in Christmas at Grand Valley this year, because the movie was fine, but I loved, they had this extended date where they like, she gets all pretty and he's like, are we really going on a date? And she says, do you think I'd spend this 30 minutes to look this good for my friends? It was so cute. I was like, oh. And then they had like,
I like that.
At the end of the day, it was great. And
I like that.
Yeah. So make a movie about dating.
I kind of messed with the mold, and I mean, it's not in development or anything right now. So I don't think it really was what they were looking for, and that the double wedding movie that I mentioned earlier, I was sort of playing around with the mold of like, at the very beginning, you see these two couples and they get engaged by the end of the first act. They're engaged, and then they decide to plan this double wedding for all these various reasons. And then the rest of the movie, which this is certainly not the typical mold for a Hallmark movie, is that I then just throw tons of stuff at them. And so you see their love challenged and, you know, almost come to a breaking point. And for one of the girls, the guy who kind of got away comes back around and she has to sift through that. And so it wasn't exactly what you're talking about in terms of a dating movie, but it was just this, you know, flipping the model a little bit on its head. And then, without giving too much away, but like you see these couples learning how to date again.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the movie, and then end up getting married. But
that sounds good. I do hate Bridezillas. I do not like that trope.
I don't like that either. And there's none of that trope in here. There's no Bridezilla. The girls never turn on each other. In fact, they're more like sisters who have each other's back than any kind of like bickering Bridezilla. I think that's way overdone. And also like, not a healthy sort of stereotype to be putting out there. I think that's
and it's just irritating. Like, you're getting married, you're blessed, like, just stop. I can't deal with it. So that sounds cute. Okay, so what is your go-to date night activity that you like to do?
So it would depend on the season, but I live very close to a Kitchen Putt golf course, which is just, it's like easier than par 3. I mean, it's called Pitch and Putt because you just need a pitcher and a putter. So no one has to be good at golf really to play. Uh-huh. And it's beautiful. It's in the middle of the woods. And so that's a go-to for sure. If it's summertime, I also think like a hike is nice, you know, or because with the hiking, it's like there's an activity and you're not having to like just look at each other. This is a more of a first date, not like second or third day, but you're not having to just like stare at each other across the table. You're able to do something and have a chat and get to know them. And so,
plus also if somebody is willing to be like patient, cause I'm not a very like fast hiker and stuff, but if someone's like willing to be patient and like be pleasant and stuff, that says a lot, I think, about the person.
Yeah.
If they're just like rushing ahead of me, then that's not good.
Totally.
Yeah.
It can be very revealing. And like, what type of hiker are they? Or are they like, are they impatient? Do they feel like they have something to prove? Or
right.
That kind of thing.
That's a good one. Very good. All right. Are you team dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Very good. Okay. Beaches or mountains?
Oh. In Vancouver, you get both. I'd go mountains, but I do very much like a nice tropical vacation. I went to Tulum, Mexico a couple years ago there on the Caribbean, and it was gorgeous.
Nice. There's nothing I love more than being at the beach. Why do I live in Utah? That is a question. I have no idea. But but I love being at the beach.
Do you have like a coastal preference? Are you like a West Coast, East Coast?
I mean, I have a
Gulf
lot
of
more. I really don't. I mean, I went to visit my friend in Tampa, and the beaches out there were stunning. I mean, my favorite of all favorites is the North Shore in Oahu, Hawaii. My grandparents used to have a house there, a couple of years ago. I know, amazing, and I just absolutely adore it there. I adore the people. I adore the everything. I love it there. So that's like my happy place when I'm feeling depressed. Mm-hmm. I think of the North Shore. I just really love the beach. I mean, I prefer beaches where I can actually swim, that they're not super, super cold, is my preference. But even, I don't know, I just love even just the sound and the, we have some good lakes out here, but not quite the same as the beach. So anyway.
Yeah.
So if you had to, suit and tie or sweats? Fancy wear or relaxed, casual?
More casual.
Yeah.
Despite what the bulk of my characters tend to wear on Hallmark.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I'm in the teaser, so you can see very quickly in Mystery 101. I don't wear one suit or one tie in the whole film, and I was so excited about that.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Cool. Yes. What's your favorite holiday?
Probably Christmas.
Yeah, it's tough to be. Can't be Christmas.
It is. I know. It's just like there's all the lead up. It has its own. It has its own genre of music. I mean, what other holiday has its own genre of music?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be on brand. I mean, let's be real.
No, there's that too. I would never get hired again if I said anything other than Christmas.
All right. So, last question. And this, you could pick one that you've been in. It's no problem. What is your favorite Hallmark movie?
I'm gonna have to say Destination Wedding, just because of the entire surrounding circumstances, the friends I made out of that, the location. Yeah. That one was pretty special.
Yeah, that was a really good one for sure.
I'd have to go there.
Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun. I've had a great time talking with you.
Likewise.
We'll definitely have to have you on again. And we're really looking forward to Mystery 101, and keep us posted on all your other projects. And where can people follow you online and social media and stuff?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. I am equally average on both of those. I'm a bit more involved on Instagram than I am on Twitter. Not really Facebook, but Instagram, Twitter.
And that, what's your handle on Twitter?
I'm at Preston Vander.
Great.
Because at Preston Vanderslice is too much for Twitter to handle. That's too long.
Yeah. Great. Well, I'll have that in the description section. Everybody, make sure you follow Preston. And Thanks for listening. Make sure you put in the comment section or on Twitter what you think of some of the stuff we talked about. What would be your pitch to Preston for an idea for the next Hallmark movie? Let us know. That would be really fun to hear. And check out Mystery 101 coming up. And you can make sure you're following the podcast, the Hallmarkies Pod, all of our social media, and put in your reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And thanks so much. And let's talk again soon.